Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the ministry of your word, which is by your spirit. We ask that everyone here this morning, with unveiled faces, with unveiled hearts, we will receive the light of your word in our hearts. We ask that by your word, we will grow in appreciation of your work, even your salvation, which we have received through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that the eyes of our understanding this morning will be enlightened, just as there's no error in the teaching. There'll be no error in our understanding. We ask this morning, O Lord, that everything that needs to be said will be said, and all that needs to be heard will be heard, received, understood, to be worked in. We ask that everyone together will be, O Jesus, and as we see him this morning, we will see ourselves as he sees us in him. We ask that in our walk, you be glorified as the church is edified this morning. We ask and receive this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. 2 Timothy. Thank you. Grab your Bible and notes. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy. Amen. So quickly, we're not having Bible seminar today. I'm not teaching second session today. I have other teaching sessions, which is quite overlapping, and they're very important. So, having series of teachings, both here and somewhere else, right? So, we just have regular service, worship service today, and then we'll close the service. Praise the Lord. And then, next week Sunday, there will also not be Bible seminar. Praise God. There won't be Bible seminar next week Sunday. And then, but coming Sunday after then, we will continue our Bible seminar 30 minutes after the service. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3. So, I think I'm just getting into our study gradually for this series of session. I'm just getting into our study gradually. So, all we said in previous sessions were simply introductions. We went over what it is that we had learnt in the previous teaching sessions of the same subject on salvation. In 2 Timothy 3, which is our text, in verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, and that from a child, he says, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, I believe by now, we can flow, because you got in the explanation on a child, told you the word breathos, then known, I told you the word eido, which means to keep your eyes on the ball. I gave you the illustration of a long tennis player. Do you remember? A long tennis player, that how you keep your eyes on the ball, or a goalkeeper. The way you keep your eyes on the ball, it is you keep your eyes on the Holy Scriptures, then it is able to make you wise. It is Holy Scriptures there. We said the word heroes grammar, right? Right? Can I get responses? Right? I need your minds here, right? Okay? So it says, which are able, we saw the word able from the word dunamai. Dunamai is from dunamis. It says to make the wise. It means power or ability. Is it clear? Alright, so it says to make them wise. We said the word wise there is sophizo, which means to become intelligent. It says unto salvation, soteria, are we together? True faith. Faith is the word pistis, which is in Christ Jesus and Christos Jesus. Are we together? Then it says in 16, all scripture, paragraphe, is given by inspiration of God, theosnostos. It says, and is profitable, Philemon. It says, for doctrine, said the word there is didaskalia, are we together? Then it is for reproof, electos, for correction, said panotosis, for instruction, that's the word paideia and the kaiosune, righteousness. It says that the man of God, so the man of God in this text will refer to Timothy, is it clear? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That means that all the tools required for spiritual development in salvation is presented you through the explanation of the scriptures. I'll take it again. Through the explanation of the scriptures, all the tools required for spiritual development is presented to you. All that the believer in Christ needs to grow spiritually is present within the scriptures. Is it clear? It's within the scriptures. The believer does not need any form of knowledge, schooling, outside the scriptures to become spiritually mature. Obviously, he definitely will need knowledge in the world. he will need knowledge outside there if he's to get effective in other areas of his life. Are we together? But when it comes to the subject of salvation and growing in salvation, are we together? He says the scriptures are profitable for that. The scriptures are sufficient. When the books of the Old Testament, and obviously the four Gospels and the Epistles, the 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, when they are properly explained, they are sufficient for every Christian to develop spiritually. That is what the text is saying. Are we together? So, I don't need to start consulting extra biblical materials. I don't need to start consulting books on anthropology, sociology, management. I don't need to start consulting those books if what I want to grow in is the knowledge of salvation. There's nothing wrong with all of those materials. They help us in different aspects of life. Are we together? But when we're talking about growing in salvation, understanding it and walking in it, the Paul is saying that the scriptures are sufficient. Please let me tell your neighbor, say the scriptures are sufficient. Can I tell someone by your side, the scriptures are sufficient? Thank you. Hallelujah. Now look at this. He says salvation, the word soteria, seen that severally. Salvation, he says, is through faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So salvation is in Christ Jesus, and it is received by faith. It is received by faith. Now that means you might find someone explaining from the scriptures the subject of salvation, and it begins to give all sorts of conditions to be saved. And the conditions is given to be saved has to do with your effort and works. Paul is saying such a preacher is wrongly handling the scriptures. The salvation which the scripture teaches is the one true faith. So any subject, any explanation on salvation that looks like it's dependent on my effort, any explanation on salvation that makes salvation look like it's dependent on my goodness, my perfection, my good works, like Islam would teach. Islam teaches salvation through good works. Are we together? That is not what the scriptures teach. The scripture teaches salvation through faith. We've seen texts around that severally. That a man is saved when he believes the gospel. There is nothing wrong in doing good, living right, are we together, walking in holiness, living rightly, having good conduct. There is nothing wrong with that, but they are not the condition for salvation. They are simply the fruits of salvation. Is it clear? Is it clear, church? They are the fruits of salvation, good works, right living, are the fruits of salvation. They are not the conditions for salvation. So the salvation which the scripture teaches is a free gift of God in Christ, and it is received through faith, by believing. Someone say, what is believing? Believing simply means to trust. The word pistis, it means to rely, to trust. That means, in order for God to accept me, I want to be accepted of God, I want to be in union with God, I want to come into fellowship with God, I want to have a right standing before God. God is saying through the scriptures, I should trust him. I should trust his works. If in a bid to be right with God, in my desire, a bid to have a right standing with God, if I feel that it is going to be a function of how perfect my conduct is, then I cannot be saved. I will not be saved, because the salvation which God offers in Christ Jesus is received through faith. Someone says salvation through faith. Quick. If you observe a very popular text which you and I have been used to, and if you're a Christian, I mean you grew up in a Christian, in fact, even non-Christians know the text. those who are not yet born again even knows the text. It's one of our memory verses when we were in primary school. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and then verse 16. You could literally just quote it off air. Are we together? Offhand. It says in John 3:16. I like to read my Bible all the time. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Another translation says, "But have eternal life." Are we together? And someone say, "Everlasting life, is it the same as eternal life?" Yes, except of course you failed in your English class. Are we together? Eternal life is the same as everlasting life. Are we together, church? Alright. So he says, whosoever believes in John's Gospel, in chapter 5, and then in verse 24, we see again the same thing reiterated by Jesus. It is verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And look at this. Sometimes when someone makes a statement, you need to find out what authority does he have to make such statement. In finding out that, we observe that the person talking here is the Savior. If you are not the Savior, then your affirmations, your teachings, your opinion about salvation does not count as much as the Savior. Is it clear? You were not the one who died. Someone say, how can people just believe and say they are saved? Just believe. Just by believing. Well, you are the one with complexities in your mind and in your life. God is not complex. God says, anyone who trusts that my work of salvation, my work of redemption, is enough for him to be redeemed from his sins, he says that person is saved. That is God. So the requirement for salvation is simply faith. Simple believing. So someone said, why then has not all the world believed? Are we together? Because, well, man many times loves to believe he is right in his own ways. Are we together? He is right in his own ways. Man loves to exercise his own will in rebellion against God's word. It is not only salvation that God has asked people to believe him upon. You also find people find it difficult to believe God on many other fronts. Just believe. Some folks even believe that God does not exist. I think that's even more serious. Are we together? They don't believe God exists. I mean, the existence of God is so clear in creation. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that the invisible things of God are known, are seen clearly by the things that he has made. God expects the physical creation to show us that there is a mastermind behind this beautiful creation. He expects you to look at his creation, including yourself. God expects you to look at your heartbeat. He expects you to look at your own body, your own makeup. He expects you to look at the ability to reproduce after your kind. And then when you look into the natural, you find that same trait in every other living thing. He also expects you to look at the non-living thing, to look at the waters, to look at the sun, the moon, the stars, and to see that, and to prick your mind that actually there ought to be a wisdom, a mastermind, a creator behind all of this creation. But there be some men who looks at all that and feels, well, I'm not convinced that there is God. There is creation, but I'm not convinced there is a creator. Man is funny. Are we together, church? So look at it. Salvation, very simple. He says, faith. In John's Gospel, again, the last chapter, John's Gospel, okay, I think it's chapter 20, amen, not the last chapter, but look at John 20, don't worry, my tone will soon change, John 20, in verse 31, it says, but these are written that you might believe. You might believe. Are we together? You might what? Believe that what? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, what happens? You might have what? Life through his name. Now, when you use the word might, it's not conditional. That when you might not. No. He's saying this is the result of the believing. Are we together? He's not giving a condition. The moment you have believed, he says you have life. Hallelujah. So look at this. Can I just take a poll? If you have believed that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and he was raised for your sins, Can I just see you wave your hand? You have believed. If you have not believed and you don't raise your hand and an angel see you, can you just wave your hand? You just collect your salvation. Can you wave your hand if you have believed on the Lord Jesus? All right, praise God. Okay, there's nobody that is ashamed of him here. Amen. So salvation is in Christ, and it is by faith, by believing. Glory to God. It is by faith. It is by believing. So faith will save me from what? Again, basics, Matthew 1. Look at verse 18. Now Jesus was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, together she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing, by the way, it's Easter week. Wow, what a beautiful message. Is not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on this thing, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, so angels know your name. Are we together? Joseph, thou son of David. He says, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Are we together? Are we together? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can we take 21 together, one to go? She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are we together? So even when God descended into humanity, he had to choose a gender. You can't be smarter than him. Are we together? Are we together? You have to choose. Don't ask me why he chose a man. Are we together? Don't ask me why he chose a man. Amen. But he has to choose a gender. He has to choose a gender. He didn't come. Amen. So he says he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. So that shows you that the salvation which Jesus offers is salvation from sins. Salvation, not salvation from poverty, not salvation from what else does man face, but salvation from sin. Is it clear? If he does any other work that saves man from any other sin, it is usually to point to that main work, salvation from sins. Is it clear, church? That is his mission. You find out some of the texts in John's gospel, which we looked at earlier, chapter 1, 35. He said, again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, I'll give you some volume here, thank you, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Someone say, Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. Then he says, and the two disciples heard, okay, he says, him speak, and they followed Jesus. Are we together? He says, the Lamb of God. John 1. Are we together? Look at 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he comes to save from sin. His mission is so clear. He redeems from sin. He comes to save from sin. The word save itself, I told you the word sozo, which means to redeem, to restore from, or to prevent from harm or judgment. So if he comes to save from sin, it means he comes to prevent people from going through the judgment and the punishment of sin. He comes to save. Jesus came to save. Are we together? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, another text. In verse 14, 1 Timothy 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. 15. This is a faithful saying. Are we together? He says, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom am I? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The word saved there, the word sozo, means to prevent from danger. Danger of what? Danger that sin brings. In 1 Corinthians 15, a text we've seen in our previous sessions before today, 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 3, For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. So clear, no ambiguity, no confusion. He came for sins. He did not come for people to be wealthy. There were already wealthy people before he came. Is it clear? If there was already material wealth, people were enjoying material wealth before Jesus came, then his death was not for material wealth. Because men could already have material wealth without his death. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? If Jesus, before he came, men were already getting married, women were already getting married, it means the coming of Jesus, the death of Jesus, because anytime we talk about the coming of Jesus, we have to also mention the death. The death was why he came. Is it clear? So the death of Jesus or the coming of Jesus is not for you to have a spouse, have a husband, or have a wife. No, he didn't come to resolve such a challenge. Folks were already being married and given in marriage before he came and died. Is it clear? Is it clear? So folks don't need the death of Jesus to get a husband. Folks don't need the death of Jesus to get wives. But folks need the death of Jesus. The world needs the death of Jesus to be saved from their sins. If you look at chapter 15 in verse 17, he says, and if Christ be not raised, he says, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Look at other texts, for example, the Ephesians 1 text in verse 7, he says again, in whom we have redemption, he says, through his blood, he says, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Again, you observe the Colossians 1 text. In 1 and in verse 14, Colossians 1, he says the same thing. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you look at the 1 Peter text, Peter does the same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and then in verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24, he says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The healing here is not referring to healing from sicknesses. The healing here is talking about salvation. So he calls salvation, he likens it to healing of physical sicknesses. Are we together? Because a sign in God's plan, in the gospel, a sign of the forgiveness of sins is always the healing of sicknesses. Because the writers of the scriptures uses physical sicknesses to describe the work of sin in the life of a man. Bondage. The same way, physical sicknesses can be bounding, captivating. Sin also captivates and punishes. Is it clear? When physical sicknesses are not dealt with, might lead to something worse. Sins also will lead to an eternal damnation. So the writers of the prophet, because the way they wrote in the Old Testament, this actually Isaiah. It's Isaiah that speaks like this. 1 Peter 2:24 was taken from the Isaiah text. Isaiah talks like that. Isaiah will use figures of speech, are we together, to describe his spiritual reality, just like Moses. So he uses physical sickness to describe sin. So many times when talking about by his stripes you're healed, by his stripes you're healed, you know, he's actually referring to sins being forgiven by the not sicknesses. Are we together? Even though the healing of physical sicknesses is also illustrative, symbolic of God's work about sin. So he says in 24, who his own self, I read again, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that to sins, he says, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So you see, he's speaking from Isaiah when you read verse 25. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So he calls Jesus the bishop, I mean the shepherd of your souls. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The same 1 Peter chapter 3 and then in verse 13. 1 Peter 3 and then verse 13. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is his. It's not 1 Peter. I think I missed the text. Let me see. Is in 2 Peter. There is the Lord. Let me see again. 1 Peter 3 verse 13. No, it is not the text. It is 2 Peter. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and earth. Okay, well then, wherefore, behold, beloved, seeing that I see such things. No. 3:18, 1 Peter. Is it 1 Peter 3:18? Oh, thank you. It's 1 Peter 3:18. Thank you. It says, for it is better. I don't have 13 in my notes. It says, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. 18, for Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That's substitution. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hallelujah. By the Spirit. So Christ has also once suffered. The use of the word once has to do with perfection of what he did. He has suffered once, he says, for sins. So all the writers of the New Testament books agreed that the sacrifice of Jesus is for sins. To redeem from sins, to save from sins. I'll read one more writer, John, obviously. Where will I go if not for John? In 1 John, again, in chapter 3, if I write from chapter 2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Does God want me to walk in sin? No. So he writes, he says that you sin not. And if any man sin, look at what it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2, can we take verse 2 together? If you open to that text, let's read verse 2 together. I want to go. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Is it clear? So Christianity is not a Jewish man's religion. Christianity, what Christ died to bring for us, is actually for all men, all humanity. All humanity. He says that he is the propitiation, not for our sins only. We looked at the word propitiation in our last study series. Is the word elastomai. Are we together? Elastomai. So he says he's the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In verse 12, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. For his name's sake. That means we have forgiveness of sins in his name. Your sins are forgiven, not by the perfection of your conduct, forgiven, not by the extent of your prayer and fasting. Your sins are forgiven by his name's sake, or for his name's sake. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 3, and then in verse 5, he says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. You know, you are assured, you are taught, you are convinced. John is writing to the church. So he says, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In the same 1 John, if you look at chapter 4, and then in verse 10, he says, in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So we take our right conducts from his own works. Are we together? His own works, his own love, become an example to us. He becomes an example to us. His love, his sacrifice, his conduct, his faithfulness, his sacrifice becomes an example for us to walk in amongst ourselves today. So very clear. Salvation is God's work. Salvation is the work of God in Christ. Hallelujah. The work of Christ. It is available in Christ Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel 28, Matthew 28, you will observe what he said. Verse 20. Matthew 28, and then in verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus did not say, God is with you. Jesus says, I am with you. And he expects you to know that that implies that God is with you. I am with you. So what does that show to us? Amen. Look at Jude 1 quickly. Jude has just one chapter though. Jude 1. Interestingly, I'm still going over the basics before we get into our study. Jude 1, or Jude. Look at Jude verse 24 and 25. Jude 24:25. He says, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior. He says, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So look at what it says. He says, God our Savior. Okay. Why did I look into that text? Look at 1 verse 1. Second Peter 1 verse 1. Quickly. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 1. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Christ. Okay. Now look at something, look at the play of words. I just thought I would have put your attention on before getting to our story. Just basic still. He calls God our Savior. He calls God our Savior in Jude. Then Peter says Jesus is. Jude says God is our Savior. Peter says Jesus is our Savior. What are we doing? Okay, let's look at some of the texts. What does Paul say? Okay, Paul. Paul. What does Paul say? In Titus, Paul's letter to Titus. That's Pastor Titus. Paul's letter to Titus. In chapter 1, look at verse 3. He says, In two, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. 3. But that in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So God is described as our Savior. But look at the same chapter in verse 4, the next verse. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Are we together? The Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Because God our Savior, he calls Jesus our Savior, he repeats the same, so you know it's a trend. The same Titus. If you look at chapter 2, in chapter 2, verse 10, he says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, just moving on again into verse 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. The great God and our Savior. So look at this. It seems like the writer deliberately uses the word "and" to emphasize who God is. Is it clear? They use to who God is. So when you see God, he says, and our Savior. He's not talking about two people. He's saying God, which is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we together? So he talks about the man Jesus Christ. Why then does he use the word God? He explains his deity. So using the word God is to establish the deity of the man Christ Jesus. It is God and our Savior Jesus Christ. God, that is our Savior Jesus Christ. Dicting, saying maybe God the Savior, Jesus the Savior, so who is Savior? God is our Savior, hear this clearly, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, the God of heaven and earth, that created heaven, he created the earth, he created the seas, he created the stars, he created the sun, he created all the physical elements on the earth, he created the heavens, he created man on the earth. That same God of heaven and earth, is he clear? Is he clear? You know, Islam call him. Are we together? You call him. This Allah. Are we there? So, when they get to explain that Allah, they see that is the person you're talking about. Because this you're explaining is not consistent with his character. It's not consistent with his character. So if the person you're explaining, if you like, call him Elelumari. Are we together? If you like, call him Allah. Whatever the name you call him. If you are trying to describe, and then you are describing someone else, another spirit personality, another supernatural being. But if the person you are trying or intending to describe is the one who created heaven and earth, including man, then he is the God. Are we together? Of heaven and earth, then his name is Jesus. Is it clear, church? Is it clear? Anyone doubts what I just said? The Bible says the fellow is not born again. He's not born again. So the God of heaven and earth became a man. His name is Jesus. And he is the Savior. Are we together? The Savior of mankind. In Titus 3 verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God, which is our Savior, appeared toward man. I'll take it again, Titus 3, 4. But after that, the kindness and the love of God. Now, kindness and love are not two different things. So the word "and" is not a conjunction, it's simply emphatic. The kindness, that is the love of our God, which is our Savior, toward man after it appeared. Now take it into verse 6. He says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, he says, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, are we together, we should be made heirs, reality, that's the word hope there, excuse me, of eternal life. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? 1 Timothy 1 verse 1, you see the same thing. 1 Timothy 1 verse 1, it is Paul, an apostle, 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. In verse 2, he says, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. In chapter 2 and then verse 3, he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So if God is called our Savior, salvation is his work. Savior, the word sota, S-O-T-E-R. That is the action of salvation. The event of it, the process of it is included. The action of salvation is God's work. In verse 4, who we have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, he says, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. The man Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So God is our Savior. Tell your neighbor, say, God is a Savior. Say his name is Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 10, he says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. So is God our Savior or Jesus Christ? Okay, you said so. Hallelujah. So he says in Matthew, read, he says, lo, I am with you. So he doesn't have to say God is with you. He says, lo, I am with you always. Then he added a clause that proves to us that ability is only found in God till the end of the age. Till the end of the age. By adding the clause, till the end of the age, are we together? Are we together? Even though, I told you that when you read even to the end of the age, there's all of course to you that, oh, the times. And I told you, not exactly. The end of the world or the end of the age in scriptures is an Old Testament statement, language. If we go back into the Old Testament, what God kept on saying, end of the world, is that his glory will fill everywhere. So when the Bible says till the end of the age, it does not imply, like some people have taught, till the time when everything is destroyed. Lo, I am with you till the time when everything is ruined on the earth. No. Lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. I am with you, I am abiding with you till the whole earth is filled with my glory. Because that statement, lo, I am with you always till the end of the age, was added to an assignment given to them. So he gave them an assignment to preach the gospel in all the world. So I am with you till the whole world hears the gospel. The end of the age, or the end of the world, in scripture is referring to God's plan for the earth when it is fulfilled. That plan is not yet completely fulfilled, but it's being fulfilled. Is it clear? Is it clear, church? It is being fulfilled. Numbers 14:21. It says, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be covered with what? My glory. Shall be filled. The word filled is the word used, not cover. Shall be filled with my glory. As long as I live it, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. That was the text theme of In Christ Life We Should Come. Now we're together. Then you'll find in Habakkuk chapter, and in verse 14, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So that is where God is taking the earth to. God is taking this earth to a point where everyone on the earth, listen to me, is born again. God is taking this earth to a point where everywhere on the earth becomes his resting place, his place of worship. He is able to live in the heart of every humanity. That is where he is taking the earth. So that is not yet fully fulfilled, but he is God. His plans will be fulfilled. When they say the end of the age, so if Jesus comes, then he tells his disciples, whom he has taught for 40 days, and he must have established with them what he implies by end of the age. He then makes the statement. Now, obviously, I've told you that it is possible, I don't actually want to go into this, but it's actually possible that Jesus never used that statement, right? Right? I told you that already. It's possible, because you don't see it in Matthew, you don't see it in Mark, you don't see it in Luke, you don't see it in John, you don't see it in Acts. Are we there? So that must have been Matthew's interpretation of what Jesus taught for 40 days. So Matthew's eminence of what Jesus taught for 40 days is that the glory of God will cover the whole earth. So Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, until my glory fills the earth, until the end of the ages. So he doesn't have to say God is with you. He already says, lo, I am with you. And he expects you to understand, he expects his audience to understand, that he is with them implies that God is in Mark 16. Again, you see in verse 15, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, that believes, baptized shall be saved, that believes not shall be damned. This man shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. He says, they shall take up serpents, they dig any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. He says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Are we together? Then he says in verse 19, he says, and they went forth preaching everywhere. He says, and the Lord walking with, are we together? Confirming their words with signs, what following. Before then, he says, after he has said these things, are we together? He says, he was taken up away from them, and he was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. Are we there? Mark 16. And then in verse 19, what do we have there? He says, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he went up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. What does he mean by he sat on the right hand of God? The right hand of God is a language of the Old Testament used to describe the manifestation of God. The full manifestation of God. The full manifestation of a king is called the right hand. He didn't say the right side. Right hand. Right hand is an office. Are we together? Not a place. It's not a geographic place. It's an office. It's a function. Right side is a place. Right hand is referring to an office, a function. So when he says he sat at the right, are we together? It means Jesus tent. Are we together? At that place where God is seated. Where God is seated, if you go into the heavens and you are looking for God, if you find Him seated somewhere, if you look closely, it is Jesus you will see. Are we together? That is what that statement implies, that He is the right hand of God. So right hand is an Old Testament language for a full manifestation of someone. That means all the authority, access, information, revelation concerning is with this person. He has all the authority of that person. Now, you cannot have all of my authority except you are me, or I am you, or you are I, or I are you. Are we together? Are we together? You cannot have all of my authority. No matter how powerful you are in my kingdom, you cannot have all of my authority. It means He is actually the one seated there. He is God. That is what the writer wants us to know anytime they use the word right hand for Jesus. Right hand. So the right hand has to do with God's full manifestation. There is nothing to be known, and there is nothing to be carried. There is nothing that in my note. It means there is nothing to be known, said, or carried out about or by God that is not ministered in Him or through Him. So He ministers all that is to be known of God. He carries out all that is to be done by God, because He is God. Is it clear, church? Clear, church? So Jesus will say to Philip, He says, He that has seen me has seen who? The Father. He says, show us the Father, John 14. He says, Philip, have I been so long with you, and thou knowest not me? He says, why show us the Father? Know ye not that the Father in me, I am the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I do, the Father that doeth them. The Father lives in me. Is it clear? Is it clear? So Jesus is the physical manifestation of the person we call the Father. He is the physical manifestation. Jesus is the physical manifestation of the person we call God. He is the physical manifestation. So in John 3, he says, no, the only which is in the bosom of the Father, Him. Are we together? John 1:18. Are we together? He has declared Him. So the full manifestation of God, the full revelation of God, the full ability of God, He says, is embedded in Christ Jesus. Are we together, church? So salvation is God's work. Salvation is Jesus' work. It is God that saves. His name is Jesus. Are we together, church? In John 1:29 again, He says, He takes away the sins of the whole world. He takes away the punishment, the judgment for sin. He takes it away. He takes it away. In Ephesians chapter 5 and then verse 23. He takes it away. Ephesians 5, 23. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Notice, He never said, for the man is the head of the woman. He never said that. There's no such text like that. Is it clear? Because it's not true. But He says, the husband is the head of the what? Of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. So He calls the church His body. He calls Him a Savior. He is the Savior of the body. Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. So you observe that it is Christ that the church is subject to. But the church, Christ is subject to God. Yes, the church is subject to God because the church is subject to Christ, because He is God. Is it clear, church? Is it clear? Jesus remains the head and the manager of the church, and there is nobody he submits to, because he is the savior of humanity. He is the savior. So his work is for the world, obviously. His work is done in the church. Is for the world, is done in the church. God, our Savior. Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, our Savior, is used to describe the deity of Jesus and to show the believer that your salvation came from the highest quarters. The verdict about your salvation came from the highest quarters. So he is the Savior. Why is he called the Savior of the world? Why is he called the Savior of the world? Because all men are saved? Obviously, no. We've done this in our previous studies. He is called the Savior of the world to describe the fact that his work was meant for who? The whole world. The whole world. His work is meant for the whole world. Are we together? So because if all are saved, then that would imply that all have believed the gospel, which is not true, or men are saved in spite or despite of faith or unbelief, which is also not true. Are we there? If we are saying that all are saved, it would imply that men are saved without, which is not true. Or we are saying that all have believed, which is not true. So when you come across the statement, he is the savior of the world, understand it, what the writer is saying. The writer explain it, like you have in 1 John 2, propitiation for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, is saying that is salvation. Are we together? That is his work of salvation. Amen. His salvific work is meant for the whole world. Are we there? And obviously, the whole world will even include men yet unborn. The whole world could not refer to just the census. Are we together? Of the people around when he died. No. The world there refers to humanity. If you apply humanity as the world, you will see his salvific work applying to those who will come after he has died and raised from the dead. See his salvific work at catering for people who had come to the earth and had died before he came and died. Is it clear? So he is the savior of the world. The world in that text is not referring to the men and women that were living on the earth around the time when Jesus died, even though they are included. But the world in the text simply implies humanity. Does that make sense to you? It simply implies what? Humanity. Amen. So God is our Savior, and look at this. He became a man. His name is Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1. We clean. In 2 Peter 1, I mean all the writers of the Bible, as well as the New Testament books, agree. All of them agree. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and then verse 1. He says, Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2 verse 20, he says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he is the Savior. He is the Savior. Is that understood? He is the Savior. Very clear. In 2 Peter 1:11, he says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior." So you see that the kingdom is whose kingdom? His kingdom. Oh, I thought it was God's kingdom. He is God. Is it clear? He is God. The reason why you're looking at him like that is because Paul said in Philippians 2 that he humbled himself. And he explains that humility in that he took upon himself the nature of man. Are we together? Are we together? He took upon him the nature of man. And now say, why did God have to take upon him? If he wants to save the world, can he not just save the world? Can he not just say, take it? To be get it. Are we together? You like magic. Amen. You like magic. You like magic now. That's why you are saying that. It's the same set of people that says those things that fall prey to Ponzi scheme. You like magic. Then you say, bring 10,000. You will collect 60,000 by the end of the week. Only. You do. You quickly press the money. Then they tell you that it has gone. Then you say, you are the one for me. You are the one. It's not the one for you. You are a thief. You are greedy rather. Are we there? People just like magic. First of all, God chooses how he does his work. And you have to trust the wisdom of God that his methods are the best. He will not save you. Are we together? He will not save. In fact, all those that are saying that, could God not just do something? God will just do something. And when he does it, people just automatically get saved. If God does that, those people will still not believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God's wisdom is supreme. And secondly, we now see a wisdom in becoming flesh. That was the clearest way to show his will and his desire to you. The clearest way for God to teach man, are we together? Is that he came as a man. He came as a man and proved his deity. So the problem is that you refuse, not you, but you refuse to not believe the sign. For example, you find Jesus comes. Are we there? Are we there? He comes. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he raises the dead. That is a sign of his deity. Is it? He comes again. He says, hey guys, I am the light of the world. What does he do? He opened the eyes of has been blind since birth. 38 years old man. He opened his eyes. Are we together? Bartimaeus, he opened his eyes. He says, I'm the light of the world. That is to show his deity. That you observe, there is no one before him recorded in scripture that opened blind eyes. It was a miracle exclusive to him. Are we together? Are we together? Then look at it. He comes. He multiplies bread. He feeds 5,000 people. He does. Are we together? He comes around. Then he says, I am the living bread. I'm the living bread. Are we together, church? He comes around. He turns water to wine. And then he teaches them, I am bringing you a new wine. Different from what you have been used to. I bring a new wine. Wine in the scriptures is synonymous to the spirit, that which influences you. The spirit. So he opens the eyes of Bartimaeus. Are we together? He opens the blind eyes. He casts out. He opens the blind eyes. He turns water to wine. Are we together? Then he raises the dead. He says, I am the resurrection, John 11. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11. Then what else did he say he do? He does. He opens the blind eyes. Are we together? He turns water to wine. What are that thing that I mentioned just now? He multiplies what? He multiplies bread. He feeds 5,000. Are we together, church? He multiplies bread. He feeds 5,000. You observe, he comes walking on the waters to show you, I am Lord over nature. Are we together? I'm Lord over nature. Lord over time. Are we together, church? He performs, there were 7 miracles that John recorded about him to prove his deity. Highest of the miracles was that he himself raised from the dead. Every other person who were the dead required someone to raise them up. Him alone get himself. And he said it before. He says, if you put me down, I'll come out of this in 3 days. In 3 days, he gets up. And he gets up and he stands before them, and right before them, he's received into the heavens as Lord over nature. Received into the heavens. So, you who have decided not to believe his signs, the signs of his deity. Are we together, church? But he is God. And he is God. And he died for sins. And when men believe, they are saved. They are saved. So, he is the Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God. So, that shows you that your salvation, or the commentaries, the verdicts about your salvation, like I said, is coming from the highest quarters. In 2 Peter 3:2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the Holy Spirit. So again, he stands in time and fulfills all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He fulfills all the prophecies. Anyone looking at Jesus could see similarity between him and David. The same man, similarity between him and Abraham. The same man, similarity between him and Joshua. One man. Then they see similarity between him and the prophet. Similarity between him and Moses. Even the whole nation of Israel, they began to see similarity. They had the voice come from heaven. This is my beloved son. Just the moment when he came out from the waters. That statement was only made about Israel when they came out of the Red Sea. This is my son. You are my son. Let my son go. Are we together? That statement was only made about Israel. Hosea 11:1. Out of Egypt I called my son. Then now he is brought from the waters after coming out of the wilderness. Just like Israel. And the voice is, this is my son. They saw all that. Are we together, church? He comes out of the waters. Then the voice says, it's my son. One man, similarities with all the characters of the Old Testament. Why? Because all of those characters walked with him. They walked with him. Then he comes into the flesh. He fulfills the mission he gave them that they couldn't fulfill. Based on 2 things. Number one, their frailties. Secondly, the fact that they die. Their mortality. So he comes to fulfill it. And he does not die. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? I mean, he lives forever. So salvation is his work. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why are we not told to grow in the knowledge of God? Why are we told to grow in the knowledge of Jesus? Because he is God. Then look at this. Look at the next statement he makes there in verse 18. Can't read the next statement he makes there. Can't read it. Want to go? To him be what? But now hand to who? To Jesus. To Jesus. He says, to him be glory. To him be glory. Peter is writing. Peter says, to Jesus be the glory forever and ever. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? The glory of salvation. To him be the glory. So he doesn't do the work, and the glory of salvation goes to somebody superior called God. No, he is that God. So the glory of salvation goes to him. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory. The glory of salvation. Because he does the work. He doesn't do it on behalf of somebody. He does it himself. If Jesus had done the work on behalf of God, as though God sent him as one different, as set apart from him, then God did not fulfill his word. Because if we go into the Old Testament books and we observe the statements God made about the new covenant, God kept on saying, these are the things I will do by myself. Myself. Ezekiel 36. Myself. 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 Including the pouring out of the Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And Peter said in Acts 2, Acts 3, that Jesus, having sat down at the right hand of God, are we together? The apostles will now pour out the Spirit because he is there. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So he does the work. 1 John, he does the work. We've seen that text. So he is the Savior of the world. So when you come across God as Savior, know what it means. When you come across Jesus as Savior, know what it means. And when you come across statements like, he is the Savior of the world, also know what it means. Are we together, church? So can we say that salvation is Jesus' office? Can we say that? Quickly. Look at Ephesians 5 again. It is office. Salvation. And his name is going to be preached in all the world. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we have the song, I will preach, right? I preach Jesus. All around the world. All around. Ephesians 5. Hallelujah. In 25 again. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse with the washing of the water by the word. 27. Can I take it together? That he might present it to himself a glorious church. So, who is Christ presenting the church to? I thought he should present it to somebody with higher. But he presents the church to who? Himself. Are we together? He presents the church to himself. Look at this. That he might present it to who? Himself. It was a glorious church. Are we together? We're the glorious church, right? Glory to God. Having no spot. Hallelujah. Having no what? No spot. No spot. Nor what? Wrinkle. Or thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that it should be holy without blemish. Glory to God forevermore. Now we don't. So what men to love their wives as their own bodies? He that loves his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his bones. Hallelujah. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall be joined unto his wife, the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hallelujah. That's the father and his family. The Christ and the church. That's the father and his family. He says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. He says, and the wife, see that she reference her husband. Reference her husband. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So look at chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with thee. He says, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them which are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto God. As unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of God. Servants of who? Doing the will of who? From the word. If we are servants of God, we are servants of Christ. Doing the will of God, that is the will of Christ. He says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same Lord shall receive, shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. He says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he what? So, look at me, church. Who rewards us? Who rewards us? Who is the one that rewards? God or Jesus? Or both? You see, are we together? Are we together? So, who rewards? Who is with the reward? So, is Jesus a passage to God? Huh? Deputy God. Is he the chief whip? Is he not the Senate president? No, say God is like the president. And Jesus is the vice president. The Holy Spirit is like the Senate president. No. Are we together? There's just one God. Hallelujah. There's just one God. Hallelujah. His name is who? It's Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Look at Jude 24. Wow. So I'll spend the whole day on basics. It's okay. Jude 24. Because I want to stop here. Praise God. Jude 24. 24. Can we take it together? Want to go? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Okay. Wait. And to what? Present you, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'll come back to this text later on. Praise God. I'll come back to this text later on. Amen. But look at what it says there. Well, that's quite different from what some folks see. Is it able to what? Keep you from falling. So, do you keep yourself from falling? Up? Falling from salvation? Do you keep yourself from falling? Do you keep yourself from falling? No. Now look at this. And to present you, how? Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with what? Exceeding joy. So look at this. On the day of the reward, what would the atmosphere be like? On the day of the Lord, what would the atmosphere be like? Huh? Filled with joy. I thought we were going to be begging the mountains to fall on us. And the mountain will say, ah, gone are those days, I'm sorry. I cannot help you. And then we jump into the river and say, ah, where is the whale that swallowed Jonah? Please don't swallow me. Just break my bones, break everything, disappear. And the fish will smile. Oh, I now walk in love. And then the fish will say, oh, I now walk in love. Oh, I'm born. God for the saving blood of Jesus. You have not heard?
They say, oh, you just take a knife and chuck yourself, chuk, 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 chuk. And suddenly you have a kigbe to not enter. Does that even work, actually? Let me try it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So there will be what? There will be joy. So there's so much to learn about our salvation. That shows you from the text we have read. Look at this. It shows you that a man is not saved, and then the work of the maintenance of his salvation is now handed to him. No. Did you get what I said? A man is not saved. A man does not receive the gospel or believe the gospel, now depend on himself to sustain his faith or his salvation. The sustenance of your faith, the sustenance of your salvation is in the hands of the Savior. Is it clear? You know, that's what we're looking at in this particular series. How long is the salvation? The question is really not how long am I saved. The question is how long is God's salvation? How long? Well, we've seen that you don't receive the gospel. You don't receive eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. And then, to sustain your salvation, you know, Jesus didn't come from the dead and say, I suffered, though. I suffered. But don't worry, what I've obtained is complete. Open your hands. So you stretch your hand like this. And I take your salvation. It's not your hand, though. No. Praise God. His salvation is in the hands of the Savior. Praise God. Look at John 10. John 10. We're getting close here. John 10. Glory to God forevermore. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Hallelujah. In John 10:28. Don't say, but the Bible says, how shall we escape? Brethren, how shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, have you neglected salvation? Did you neglect it? We'll look at that text. Are we together? In fact, we'll look at it Sunday. Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect it? The Bible says we should come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in time of need. I said that text is not talking to you. And you are a bad reader of the Bible. Let us come. When you read "let us come" in the book of Hebrews, it's not referring to you. There's a portion that refers to you. It says, we have come. We have entered. Is it clear? Look at that text. They say, but if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more salvation. If we sin willfully, question is, what is this sin? The previous text, he had mentioned those that hear the gospel and reject it. You reject the message, it is the means for salvation. He says there is no other forgiveness elsewhere. He's not saying when a believer sins, he's not forgiven. You shall want to lose your salvation. I told you. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for what? for explanation. Then he says for what? For proof. We said the word proof there is the word electros, which means to strengthen your sense of what? Assurance. The explanation of scriptures, when it is properly done, does not make you to doubt your salvation. It strengthens your assurance in it. That is the only way you will walk in God's plans as you ought to. That's why he says later on that the man of God may be fully furnished. Then he says instruction in righteousness. The assurance of your salvation produces right living. So no teaching on salvation to the believer should stir up fear. It is a bad handling of the scriptures. No teaching should stir up what? Fear. You know, we have a lot of teachings on fear. We think actually that there is a control or a manner of life that we can't get people to live until they are under fear. It is not true. In fact, when you get the right conduct, the right fruit from a Christian's life, but it is out of fear and terror that God might do something to him, God is still not glorified in that Christian's right conduct. Is it clear? God wants your right conduct to stem out from the fact that you are accepted, you are a beloved, he has nothing against you, he lives in you, he walks through you, you are one with him. So God is not after character reformation. God is after an inward transformation that is released, are we together, in your lifestyle. Everything we do is a worship, including giving. When you don't give your tithe, someone say, if you don't tithe, he say, if things are tight, check your tithe. Yes. When I used to preach those things, I was terribly wrong. If things are tight, check your tithes. If you are suffering, check your offering. In the kingdom, you go up by sowing up. When you down sow, you downgrade. You know, we have those. No. And you are divorced. That's where on your way to work on Monday, your car breaks down. God is collecting his tithe. Then God is collecting his tithe. So you call the mechanic. The car stresses you out. He says, did you pay tithe? And someone says, because of money. Say that when they give you something, that you must pay tithe. When you take loan, take tithe. That loan will just tithe. You know, because you can already know that the preacher does not do business and he does not do any serious thing. Obviously, he is not doing any serious thing. That's why the tithe is message is like that. That's why he's coming out that way. I'm not saying that's why he's teaching tithe at all. I mean, that's why the man is coming that way. Say, you must tithe. He said, even your tithe the tithe of your tithe. Say, Say, did you know the sin of Adam? Adam ate his tithe. Someone even said that if Judas Iscariot had paid the tithe, that he didn't know the mystery of tithing. Yes, I'm not joking. That if he had tithed of the silver of gold that he collected, I'm not joking. You know, we can't just be showing those things in church. That he didn't understand the mystery of tithing. That if he had tithed of the silver of gold that he collected by betraying Jesus, that God would have accepted. Who is that God? Was it not the God that was crucified? It was it not the same God that was crucified? He would have accepted it. And I say, Ushe to upa me. Ushe. Are we together? So, fear is not a tool of God. Fear is not God's tool. Is that not why every time he shows up, you, the next thing you almost hear is what? Fear not. But when he shows up, fear not, fear not, fear not. Fear is not God's tool. There is something else that people often transfer. It's not fear. It's just the work of the Spirit in your heart. Caution. Caution is not fear. Caution is not fear. There's the fear of God. That one is reverence. Caution. Reverence. Worship. Out of worship. When you esteem someone, you defer. You follow. You demonstrate caution. It's completely different from terror that you'll be ruined. Say no fear here. So you walk upon your salvation. Are we together, church? This text in John 10. So fear, no. God does not want you to be afraid. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to be afraid. You know, sometimes when we come to church, we say, oh, holy hands and worship God. Some vision. In your mind, you're like, my hand is not pure. So quiet. Did you kill somebody? Lift up your holy hands. Are we together? You have been. Is it clear? Been what? You have been cleansed. You have been sanctified. In our next session. In the next session, we are taking a deep dive into the book of Hebrews. I didn't want to do that now. I will not release you until past one. I just pause where I am. Is it clear? Look at that. The blood. I remember there's a song like that. What has washed away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What has made me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me what? Makes me white and blue. Nothing. So, look at this. Rest in your salvation. You are born again. You are saved. For how long? Is it clear? Is it clear? This is the heritage of everyone who has believed the gospel, that you have arrived. You are not pursuing the kingdom. I saw a ministry. Their motto is heaven at last. No. You got wrong. The Christian is not heaven at last. No. He started from heaven. He started. Twist scriptures to arrive at those conclusions. He's not heaven at last. And his journey from heaven. Philippians 3:20. He says our citizenship currently is where? In heaven. Glory to God forevermore. Yeah. Our citizenship. We are members of the family of God. None to us to be lost. See, salvation is not all of God now put all of us in tracks. There's no one say, but the Bible is talking about that we should run the heavenly race. Calm down. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Calm down. We'll see the book. The heavenly race is not salvation, it's not unto salvation. The heavenly race is not unto salvation. It's not unto salvation. If the race from salvation, you are not running away from salvation either. Are we together? It's the Christian walk, the Christian ministry is called the heavenly race. That is the mission of heaven on the earth. It's not earth's mission to heaven. It is heaven's mission on the earth. It's the clear church. It's the clear church. What Christ did in redemption is that he brought heaven down to live in your heart. Heaven is not your goal. You were heaven's goal. You were heaven's goal. And heaven hit his goal. Did he not? You're born again. So having been saved, we walk in salvation. We manifest redemption. We show forth redemption. As we preach the gospel, we live right. Then we treat people well. Then we love people. Then we serve humanity. Then we reflect the Father. Is it clear? We reflect the Father in our love walk, in faithfulness, in commitment, in honesty. We reflect the Father. Even right, we are reflecting the Father. That is who we are. Jesus says, he didn't say be the light of the world. He says you are the light. He didn't say be the light of the world. He says you are the light. That is who you are. At another time, he didn't say be the salt. He says you are the salt of the earth. You are. In the same breath, he says you are the children of your Father. So you are. And I told you, when he makes statements like that, those statements, are we together? Those statements, you know, I've explained this to you years ago, right? That those statements were made based on an assurance of what he was going to do. We call those statements an aorist statement in Bible study. Aorist. When you are saying something now, and you are saying it as though it is real, but you are saying it because it is based on something else that you will do, and the fact that that thing will happen. He was so sure that he would die, and he would be raised from the dead, so he called God their Father even before he died. He declared. So in the same breath, so Jesus made that statement a lot in the fourth gospel. When he says you are the light of the world, he was banking going to die and rise from the dead. So he called them light. He called them salt of the earth. That is who we are. Hallelujah. That is who I am. I'm the light of the world. I reflect the Father. That's why you don't steal in your office place. Father. That is why a brother, you don't womanize. That is why you don't go into fraud. You don't defraud others of their honest living, which is a dishonest living for you, because you reflect the Father. You're a Christian. Glory to God. There is Christ in you. That is Christ in you. You go to pray. You go to study. You go to preach the gospel. Then you love people. Then you share with them. And when they are in need, you share with them. Can you clothe them? Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? When they are sick in the hospital, you go visiting. You go helping. That's Christ in there. Glory to God. That's Christ in there. Glory to God. That's Jesus in there. That's Christ in there. That's the Spirit of God in there. That's who you are. So you are deep because you are saved. You are saved. So Jesus doesn't save us, then commits into our hands maintenance of our salvation. No. No. He maintains what he does. Hallelujah. When it's salvation, it is his office. Look at John 10, pray for me. In John's Gospel chapter 10, I will learn something, everyone. Glory to God. John 10. I told you in verse 25, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not my sheep. As I said unto you,
Oh, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow. See, I follow the Lord. I hear the Lord. The Lord knows me, and I follow Him. Hallelujah. 28, everyone. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yeah,
don't perish.
I never perish. Will never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It is office. He's saying you are under my watch. Where them wolves? Did you know that the biblical example where Jesus was teaching from, Jesus is saying, when you read David, how that the wolves and the bears could not pluck the most vulnerable. If you go back to 1 Samuel 17, he didn't say the sheep, he says the lamb. He says, he told Saul at the war front, in front of Eliab, he says, the Lord has been with me. That in the wilderness, you know what he's saying? That I did it alone, though God was with me. So he was the sorter there. Then he says, when the wolves come and the bear, and they take the lamb, he says, I run after it, and I hold it by the head, and I hold it, and I open his mouth, and I tore it, and I savage, I redeem that which is left from his mouth. It is from that same scripture of David that Jesus is explaining his workflow. Are we together? He fulfills David. David is described in the Old Testament as the shepherd of the sheep. It is David. That description, the shepherd of the sheep, is David. So it becomes the true David. He inspired the writing because he was going to fulfill it. He was going to fulfill it. He was the same God who hung around David, that David was boasting of his presence in his victory over the bears. That same one came in the flesh. Then he explains to you that what you read in David is actually my work. Not one sheep of my flock will be lost. David knew. So in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. So David will go after the wolf, will go after the damage and the predator. He would go after it. He was confident that a shepherd bigger than him is with him. That shepherd came in the flesh. So he goes back to it. Back to the narrative of David. He says, what you are reading in David, David was actually acting like me. I am here now. So not one sheep, he says, none, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then he says, my Father, which gave me, is greater than all. Notice he did not say, my Father is greater than I. It is my Father is greater than all. And no man, I told you the word man is italicized. We'll check that word later on. It's word oidios. It is used for none, absolutely nothing. But the translator added man. Okay. It says, and no man is able to pluck out of my Father's hand. I and Father are one. Glory to God forevermore. So no one, because He is the Savior. So in John chapter 3 verse 16b, when He says, he that believes, are we together? On Him, or shall have what? Eternal life. He said that because of what He would do. So Jesus makes the statement
that he made in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, including the preaching of to the whole world, the filled with knowledge of the glory of God. He made all of those things will do. There's a need for us to study what he has done. If you make such absolute statement, you can't say he was not exposed. He's not exposed. Jesus was not exposed to the kind of sin in 2025. He's a liar. He is God from the ages. He knows the future from the end. He knows the end from the back. Are we together? And he says absolutely. So he shows you something. We can only conclude today that the security of the believer is capability of the Savior. The security of the saved is built on the capability, the capacity of the one that saves, and not on the believer's carefulness or skillfulness to maintain what he has received. He said in John 5:24, which we have read, he has passed from death unto life. They have passed from death to life. And in John 6, as we close, John's Gospel chapter 6, he says, I am the living bread, verse 51, which came down from heaven. When man eat this bread, he shall live forever. Hallelujah. Say, I live forever. Hallelujah. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give all this flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, very, very, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of God, see, I have eaten his flesh, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So if I eat my flesh, drink my blood, have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed. Then he says, it's drink indeed. Then he says, it has eaten my flesh and drinking my blood dwells in me. And I say, I dwell in him. He lives in me. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, that is, the life which is of the Father is the life that is in me. That is what he is saying. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So the same life which is in me now, which is the life in the Father, will be in him. I have the life of the Father. So how does he attach me to him? By living in me. That attachment. When he says, no one can pluck from my hand. That attachment is actually an indwelling. It dwells in the saved to preserve the saved. He saves and dwells in the saved forever. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did in manna and are dead, but he that eats of this bread shall live endlessly. Glory to God forevermore. I live by the Father, and the Father lives in me. So it's an absolute statement. They are absolute statements. There is no other way to explain it than to say it the way he said it. You can only know, you can't explain it better. You can only understand the consequence of what he has said. He said it clearly in the simplest form. The same way it is. No but. If you see any but, it is man that added it. If you see any however, it is man that added it. It is man that added or adds but or however. Are we together? What God does is absolute. The way to God forevermore. Are we together, church? So we sing this song. We said, he has given to me all that I need. Are we together, church? He has given to me all that I need. We said, it's all in me. Are we together, church? It's all in me. He's given to me today all that I need. Hallelujah. He has given to me all that I need. He lives in me. He lives in me. He is in me today. And I live in him today. Are we together, church? Can you just lift up your hands and just minister to the Lord? Thank him for his gracious work. Yes. We sing our salvation in other tongues. Sing your salvation in other tongues. Sing your salvation in other tongues. Yeah. Just sing in the spirit. Ida ke da ba da ni, ida ba da fa da ni, ida ke da bi da de de, sa da ba da ni, ida ke da ba da ni, ida ke da ba da ni, ida ke da ba da ni.